This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, it's one of those days today where we keep getting interrupted by the President of the United States of America. What are you going to do? You're just going to roll with it, baby. We'll roll with it because the this is I forgot what it was like. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I appreciate you being here today. Every day, of course, I appreciate you being here. But the world we live in and when Trump is president is afternoon drive is the place you want to be. In fact, it was funny because when I saw my friend Roma Duravi at CPAC, Roma was the one, back in 2019, we did Radio Row at the White House, which, by the way, we're going to be back at the White House doing the show live on Wednesday. I'm not sure if I mentioned that yet or not. Matt, did I mention that? If I've neglected to mention that we'll be doing the show live from the White House on Wednesday, I apologize.
Is that Wednesday? I knew I had something on the calendar, but I couldn't remember what it was. Oh, thank you for the reminder.
Yeah, no problem. Wednesday from the White House. Oh, a Dem rep just made a joke. You can't spell felon without Elon. Ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha. Don't quit your day job, jackass. All right, so anyway, last time I was there, so Roma Duravi was the one who escorted me over to the Oval to see the president. And this is before he gave me a silver platter and then ripped it out of my hands to give it to Dawn. But anyway, I'm not bitter. Roma, years later, saw her at CPAC, and she goes, it's great you're back in afternoons. I said, really? She goes, yeah, because, you know, if he wins, everything happens in the afternoon, and we need you in the afternoons. I was like, okay, well, good, because I hated getting up in the morning, so this works out well for everybody. And sure enough, here we are right now. Here we are. So we'll see what happens with that. Before I get to Angry Bernie, I just want to come back to Schellenberger, Jim Jordan. You know, I take this weaponization of government stuff really, really seriously. This stuff burns me, man. It burns me. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Oh, shameless plug. I'll be on Dawn's show tomorrow at 10:30. So tune into the Dawn Stensland show. Great show. Fantastic show. I can't stand this weaponization of government. It infuriates me. And what they did here by trying to censor the American people. So Michael Schellenberger was discussing all this, the Information Operations, United States Agency for International Development, and their quest to overtake independent journalism, push narratives, and flag disinformation. Do you know, years ago, I got into a big argument with some conservatives about licensing journalists? There were some, this was a thing that happened, I don't know, it was around 2015 or so, I think it was, where there was this movement by some fake conservatives to have journalists licensed. I said, why would you do that? Like, well, because we can't have fake news, so we need to, this is before Trump, right? This is pre-Trump. We got to make sure that, I said, that's nuts. Why would you do that? Who's going to give them the license? Well, the government. Got to make sure they're a legit news organization. Thank God that never happened. Could you imagine if that happened? Think of all the independent journalists out there today who would never have had their voices heard. People like Matt Taibbi, who exposed the Twitter files. People like Michael Schellenberger and others. Think of how many people on the internet today bring you news and information who are not so-called journalists. They're citizens with a camera or a phone or just a microphone or any of those things. But that's one of those areas, again, where, I mean, you got to just be on the side of freedom of press. And the government doesn't get to decide what the definition of press is. That's not the government's role here. And that's also the same reason why I don't want the government giving the media any money. That's why I've always been opposed to NPR. So I'm opposed to PBS. I'm also opposed to NPR because it's freaking boring as hell. All their mealy mouth, monotone nonsense. But the other reason is because I don't want any little things where the media can exist because of the government. It's got to be a free market. Otherwise, they're emboldened to the government as their master. That's why whenever there's issues where the government is giving newspapers money to keep them in existence by publishing public ordinances and things like that, dig into that. You'll find out that's a scam to just help those lefty newspapers survive when they otherwise would not. OK, anyway, back to Michael Schellenberger. I know we paused it halfway through. Why don't we try to pick up from there, Sean, if we could, and we'll finish that out.
Would involve Hunter Biden. So they set them all up. And then Shazam, they set them all up because they had the laptop and they knew what was coming. And when it happens, everyone buys into what the 51 former Intel officials say.
Go ahead. Oh, is that the end?
Yeah, you paused it when there was only like 8 seconds left.
Oh, okay, that's what I do. Figures. My timing is impeccable. Essentially, so why don't we do this? Why don't we back up like a minute just to put that in context where he begins to ask him about the FBI officials. And I think if we back up like 90 seconds or so, that should probably be good. Let's do that.
You mentioned that USAID, which has been in the news of late, spending taxpayer money on all kinds of stupid things, is also involved in the censorship effort. And I want you to just elaborate on that a little bit, because this is going on as we speak. I want you to elaborate on that for the committee, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to understand that USAID viewed this very holistically. And it's important, if you look at the Hunter Biden laptop case, which is an extremely important case to understand, because the FBI was weaponized, and then it weaponized the Aspen Institute to brainwash the entire media. It wasn't just that they censored it. It was that they changed the perception of the laptop. They created the perception that it was something other than what it obviously was. And that's what these guys are trying to do. These are called information operations. And USAID has been in the process of taking over so-called independent investigative journalism around the world. And at the same time, then, training NGOs how to demand censorship. For example, Mr. Aaron's organization has been working to train organizations to so-called flag misinformation behind the scenes. By the way, it's one thing to criticize somebody publicly, which we should all be engaged in.
Yeah.
But this thing where you're skulking around,
you do that all the
and
time.
Secretly, that's what open democracy is. This thing of going out and like secretly flagging information behind the scenes and demanding censorship, that is that's completely an abomination. That is not what our
democracy is. I just want to be clear. You're saying USAID, your investigation is now engaged in this pre-bunking kind of concept and process that they did with the laptop story in the fall of 2020.
And it's the exact same approach as well, where often what they're doing, for example, with USAID, OCCRP, is that they're leaking intelligence from the intelligence agencies not like WikiLeaks where they just dumped it, I think, probably too much without the proper redactions, but they're strategically leaking it and then manipulating places like The Guardian and The New York Times to publish certain stories and control the whole investigative news process.
And we saw this from Joel Roth's testimony. He testified during these weekly meetings that they communicated, federal law enforcement communicated to us there was going to be hack and leak operations before the presidential election, likely in October. We had these repeat, so that what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and then they said here who it's going to involve, that there were rumors that the hack and leak operation would involve Hunter Biden. So they set them all up. And then Shazam, they set them all up because they had the laptop and they knew what was coming. And when it happens, everyone buys into what the 51 former Intel officials say.
That's exactly right. So it's a very coordinated effort by the USAID to try to bring down the president of the United States of America. So, yeah, look, let's not get too sidetracked by all the woke crap it was funding. I mean, it's fine. I'm not saying not to pay attention to that. Obviously, you do. But this is a dangerous organization. USAID, under the cover of giving kids booster shots in Angola, was involved with bringing down the president of the United States of America. And then trying to destroy independent journalism around the world and in this country, and intimidating big tech. And, of course, the unholy triad of the government, big media, and big tech working all together to do this. Now, this journalist from India, Rupa Subramanya, hope I'm saying that correctly, also had to talk about this as well, and the First Amendment, and how important it is to protect the First Amendment, why this matters. Cut 16.
That's right.
Mr. Subramanya, I want to give you the last word. RFK, I just want you to know, I appreciate the historical perspective you brought when you testified last Congress, but one of the statements that stuck with this last Congress was actually a statement made by RFK Jr. when he said, when you look at history, it is never the good guys who are for censorship. And that's what we're trying to keep in mind and stop it from both sides, from all sides. We just don't, we want the First Amendment. I'll give you the last 30 seconds here to...
Absolutely. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, and when I was here the last time, I think it was a throwaway comment to a representative. It was not even part of my testimony. I don't think so. And I said, the values of Western civilization are worth fighting for, going back to the Enlightenment and the Reformation. That is what gave us free speech. That's what distinguishes us from the rest of the world. And the First Amendment in America distinguishes America from the rest of the world. I come from India originally. I live in Canada. I'm from Canada. But I've lived in India. I've lived in the Middle East. I've lived in places where just speaking your mind can send you to prison. You cannot criticize anything that goes against the government or certain religions for that matter. And when I came to the West, it was, you know, refreshing to finally be able to express myself. And unfortunately, what I left behind has come to me in Canada, has followed me to Canada. And I'm seeing that happening in the United States. And it's very worrying because it's happened so quickly. And I don't know where this is going to lead us to.
Yeah. If we can't settle our disputes with debate, the alternative is frightening. And we never want to get there. So I appreciate all of you. I appreciate the from both sides.
Excellent stuff there. Really, really important. Getting to the bottom of all this. Now, obviously, Democrats are screaming. They're screaming their heads off about the cuts to USAID, the cuts to DOGE. Like Bernie Sanders, for example, angry Bernie in the snow, flailing his hands, yelling as he can't stand the idea of cuts to the Department of Education. He's just angry Bernie today. Take a listen.
So not only are we going to stop the privatization of public education, we are not going to let them to destroy the Department of Education.
Just stop right there for a second. Do you know what happens when Bernie talks too close to the microphone like this? And megaphone Bernie, he starts spitting all over it. Do you hear that? The spitting, and then it cracks. You can hear the static and the cracking. It's like, and then spitting all over the microphone. That's what happens. He gets so angry, and nobody can contain him when he gets fired up like that. So he just grabs it and he's like, and you have no idea what the hell he's even saying. And then it's staticky, right? Angry megaphone Bernie. I mean, you hear it, right, Matt? It's just... Do you have the video? Do we have the video, too, or just the audio?
I only have the audio. I'm still looking for the video. It's hard to find this specific clip because evidently Bernie Sanders has been screaming about Elon Musk and Doge a lot over the last several days. So there's quite a selection on X, but I can't find this specific clip.
Well, basically, just imagine his hands flailing and what's left of his hair flailing in the back. Snow's coming all over him, and he's just yelling into the microphone. All right? All right, keep going.
Department of Education provides funding for 26 million kids who are living in high poverty areas all over this country. And we have the radical idea that maybe poor kids deserve the same quality education that rich kids do. That we're not going to turn our back on the black and the brown and Latino kids. That we're going to stand up for every kid in this country. Because we know that without a strong educational system, our democracy is going to be in trouble and our economy is going to be in trouble.
And then kids, and then the billionaire kids, and then pencils, and then boogers under the desk.
What? What did you just say? I can't understand a word of that. What was that? What was he saying there? Matt, see if you can interpret this for me. Ready? I think this is what Bernie said.
We're actually not a discontent with the billionaires and the trillionaires on the power of Israel and Israel Hulk tour. We're going to get the Hulk tour girl here.
Is that... can you translate that for us?
I'm sure he was saying something about how the United States is an oligarchy and Elon Musk is responsible for the downfall of America. Something along those lines, right?
Yeah, because he basically only has like one script. So.
You're wondering how it is that I never worked a day in my friggin' life. I'm a multimillionaire with many houses. I wrote a book none of you people bought. And yet, I hate capitalism, even though, as long as all the gawks, Jeff Bezos, and Big Pharma, I love you now, because I'm a complete person.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you. Thank you, Bernie. Thank you. Very good. Very good. It's your Bernie Sanders moment there on the show. It's like your moment is zen. Yeah. Democracy. Yeah. Yeah.
Democracy for all of you dumb asses out there who vote for us. Millions and billions of kids are going to get faxed. They're not going to get faxed now because of Bobby Kennedy. No more faxing of children like the ones he said. Unfaxed and unafraid. These kids are not going to get faxed now. Who's going to fax them? You? Huh? You're going to put a cover page on a kid and fax them?
What are you talking about?
He's so annoying. He's among the most annoying senators that we have. I'm so sick of him complaining about how the 1% are responsible for the downfall of America, when statistically, yeah, according to his estimated net worth, he's part of the 1%. And then he complains about power being concentrated in too few hands. He's been, yeah, in the Senate for almost 2 decades. Give up your Senate seat, buddy.
That's right. He went from being the mayor of Burlington, Vermont, to the United States Senate, and has been there for his entire life, like 152 years. but somehow democracy's always in peril. Somehow, you know what I mean?
The oligarchy and the gawky and the oligarchy and no, and yeah, seniors have no teeth, no eyes. They're walking around blind and toothless. Meanwhile, Bobby Kennedy's not going to fax our children anywhere. You wanted to see them and thought you could fax them over to visit grandma and grandpa. That's not happening.
What's that?
Not faxed. Oh, vaxxed. Oh. They're not going to fax. What?
All right. But yet, you know, there was a time that Democrats actually did care about cutting waste, fraud, and abuse. There was a time they did. In fact, it was led by Al Gore right before he invented the internet. Al Gore and Bill Clinton. had a whole commission on this. I remember remember even when Al Gore, I think this was the day before he invented the internet, he went on David Letterman and he wore eye goggles and brought a hammer and like cracked something on David Letterman's desk to point out how expensive things were. And this was all the thing that they were doing back then. We've come a very, very long way from that. Here is a montage of Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and even, yes, Barack Obama, vowing to root out government waste and cutting programs that are unaffordable. Take a listen.
How to cut waste, cut red tape, streamline the bureaucracy, change procurement rules, change the personnel rules, and create a government that works better and costs less.
I've read it, and where it says the president should, the president will.
Among the 800 recommendations, eliminating 12% of the federal workforce, merging some government agencies like the FBI, the DEA, and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, closing hundreds of government offices outside Washington.
From the day I took office, one of the commitments that I made to the American people was that we would do a better job here in Washington in rooting out wasteful spending. We thought that it was entirely appropriate for our governments and our agencies to try to root out waste, large and small, in a systematic way. It means cutting some programs that I think are worthy, but we may not be able to afford right now. A lot of the action is in Congress and legislative, but in the meantime, we don't need to wait for Congress in order to do something about wasteful spending that's out there. We haven't seen as much action out of Congress as we'd like, and that's why we launched on our own initiative the campaign to cut waste. And we're going to keep on finding every possible way that we can do that, even if Congress is not acting. There you go.
Wow. We went from that to,
if you cut waste, you're going to kill people, and only the oligarchs will survive. How dare you cut waste? Waste has no... We love waste. Waste helps poor kids get a lunch, a good lunch.
That's where we've come. I mean, that's where they've come, anyway. Freaking nutbag party. But one good thing on the freedom of speech thing, and this is what makes me very, very happy in our happy hour right now. And by the way, the Jimmy Buffett weekend coming up at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, end of this month, and it's not too early to make your summer vacation plans. GrandHotelCapeMay.com, our sponsor of this happy hour. Thank you, Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Vice President J.D. Vance calls for an AI sector free of strict regulations and ideological bias. I think this is great. So he actually addressed world leaders in Paris on February 11th, and he vowed that the United States would remain a leader in artificial intelligence. And here's the thing. There are a lot of people that want to impose government regulations on this. And I think what we can safely say by now is that the more that you have strict regulations, the more you're going to stifle creativity here in the United States of America, and then in other countries, other people are going to beat us to it, because there's always going to be very smart people out there who are capable of creating these things, and they're not going to pay attention to regulations. So here's the vice president, cut number three.
Nor will it occur if we allow AI to become dominated by massive players looking to use the tech to censor or control users' thoughts. And I'd ask if you step back a moment and ask yourself, who is most aggressively demanding that we, meaning political leaders gathered here today, do the most aggressive regulation? It is very often the people who already have an incumbent advantage in the market. And when a massive incumbent comes to us asking us for safety regulations, we ought to ask whether that safety regulation is for the benefit of our people or whether it's for the benefit of the incumbent. Now, over the last few years, we've watched as governments, businesses, and nonprofit organizations have advanced unpopular, and I believe downright ahistorical, social agendas through AI. In the U.S., we had AI image generators trying to tell us that George Washington was black, or that America's doughboys in World War I were in fact women. Now, we laugh at this now, and of course it was ridiculous, but we have to remember the lessons from that ridiculous moment. And what we take from it is that the Trump administration will ensure that AI systems developed in America are free from ideological bias and never restrict our citizens' right to free speech.
Good. That's what's very, very important. And that will be our safeguard. And again, as I've said with AI before, I want to make sure that our AI can beat up their AI if necessary. All right. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zilli. By the way, Justin, are you? I see you're running point on the YouTube chat. Is that you running point?
Yeah.
So you're like the referee, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Of the YouTube chat.
I'm in there pretty much every day just updating people. Like, I'll give them an update at the start of the show about cabinet confirmations and stuff like that, or I'll check in for song requests and stuff like that.
Nice. Very nice. And I love how you've also updated people on, like, for example, we have the audio of Bobby Kennedy because somebody was upset that we didn't take that live. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have the audio. Thank you, Justin.
Give me a second. Sorry, I have to hunt that down again. I do. It's a long story short. It's on the
same stream.
Justin,
how many times, if we had a dollar every time he said, give me a second, when it came to an audio clip, you and I would be...
We'd be billionaires! All the books! And we love all the books!
Am I right, Justin?
We would be part of the 1% easy peasy.
Well, in my defense, I had the Robert Kennedy clip for the better part of an hour and a half, but I can't. Long story short, it's on the same feed that I used to collect the Bernie Sanders clip. I had to make a choice: do we want angry megaphone Bernie or do we want Robert Kennedy? I chose Bernie. Now, I just found another version of the Robert Kennedy clip, so if you'll give me 2 seconds, I can load it up and I'll have it for you.
All right, we'll give you 2 seconds. By the way, if they took a blue light over that, you know how they take blue lights over crime scenes? Can you imagine the blue light over that microphone after Bernie was screaming into it? How much saliva and DNA you'd find all over that microphone? Can you imagine?
By the way.
Yeah.
I have Robert, if you'd like to hear him.
All right. This is after the new HHS Secretary, Bobby Kennedy, was sworn in today at the White House by Justice Neil Gorsuch. Take a listen.
Thanking President Trump for giving me this extraordinary opportunity. And I want to introduce my family and thank them for being here. My wife, Cheryl, my cousin, Anthony Shriver, my daughter, Kick. My other daughter, Kira, Catalina Shriver, Joey Shriver, Jackson Hines, and Amaryllis Kennedy. Oh, right. And I want to thank all of you for your support and throughout this whole 2.5 year journey. My first time in this Oval Office was in 1961. And I came here to meet my, or 1962, I came here and I had a meeting with my uncle who was president and where we talked about the environment. He was involved deeply, as we all know, in restoring physical fitness in this country. He challenged at one point during his administration, he challenged Americans to do a 50-mile walk, which I ultimately did, but I remember the day that my father completed his walk. We were staying up at Camp David, and my father came in after 18 hours walking on the CNO towpath with his feet bleeding and blisters on them. My father had a bet. One of his best friends was Al Lowenstein. And Al Lowenstein ultimately was a congressman from New York who was assassinated himself in 1980. But Al Lowenstein had started the Dump Johnson movement to get rid of President Johnson and end the Vietnam War. And at the time that he started it, people just thought it was a fool's errand. And ultimately, he asked my father to run for president against Johnson. My father wouldn't do it at that time. And he asked Gene McCarthy. McCarthy did it, and he joined that campaign. And my father ultimately ran, and Johnson then dropped out. So Al Lowenstein succeeded. And although Al Lowenstein was on the other side now, running against my father with Gene McCarthy, my father wrote him a note, a quote from Emerson, where he said, if a single man plant himself firmly on his own ideal and there abide, the whole wide world will come round to him. For 20 years, I've gotten up every morning on my knees and prayed that God would put me in a position where I can end the childhood chronic disease epidemic in this country. On August 23rd of last year, God sent me President Trump. Okay. And he gave me...
There you go. All right, thank you for that. Excellent stuff. He goes on, but I think that's a good crux of it. And all right, so that's big today, big news. Linda McMahon, before the Department of Education, promising to shut down her own agency if she's confirmed. I love that. I think that's fantastic. That's great. That's a baller move, right? If you make me education secretary, I'm going to close the Department of Education. Boom. I love that. You know, we had Jackie Tobacco on earlier today. She's one of the moms. She's on the Board of Education in Middletown Township in New Jersey. There's zero reason why we need a federal Department of Education. Despite Bernie's yelling and screaming about, the Department of Education does not educate a single child. All it does is just send money around and create woke curriculum standards. That's all it does. There's no need for this. Education should be on the local level. Absolutely 100%. And the only thing that the Department of Education can do at this point, it should do, is just help facilitate school choice, vouchers, and that's it. And then ultimately, like, shut it down. Here's Linda. When I come back, I'll give you a little bit of Linda McMahon from her testimony today to become the new secretary of the Department of Education. And I love it. Trump said it. He goes, she's got one job. Her job is to shut down her own department. I said, Linda, you got one job to do. By the way, I was asked a question on the YouTube chat. Will I be on Jimmy's show on the 28th? No, actually not. I'm going to be on I'll be on next Saturday's show for Fox News Saturday night. So Wednesday live from the White House, and then that'll be on the 19th, and then I'll be on Jimmy's Saturday night show on the 22nd, the day after my surgery on the 21st. But we tape the show before that. So I'll be taping the show on Thursday, getting the surgery on Friday, and then the show will air on Saturday. All right, so that's the week in a nutshell. Okay, a lot more to get to. It's been a busy day. It's been one of those days, baby. It's been great. It's been really fun, and I'm happy about all of it. Pam Bondi going after New York State, suing the state of New York, and saying your sanctuary nonsense, not going to play well here. We're going after you. I love it. Bring me some Pam Bondi. Listen, Dr. Mike Vinaria, great friend of mine, great friend of the show. And he is the master of dental implants, the sponsor of this hour. So go see him today at VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm all right, though. I yawned, but my mic was off. I was just cleaning up all the saliva off of my computer screen and my microphone from spitting while I was impersonating Bernie Sanders. So that took a little bit of work during the break. Yes, listen, great to be here with you today. Obviously, busy day. Pam Bondi, Bring in the thunder. I love the fact, I was saying this yesterday at the end of the show, I don't know if you caught this or not, I just thought it was so cool that Pam Bondi swore in Tulsi Gabbard. So standing in the Oval Office, President Trump, Pam Bondi, Tulsi Gabbard. And I felt like Buddy the Elf, but he goes, Santa Claus, I know him. It's like, I know President Trump, I know the Attorney General, and I know the Director of National Intelligence. I just had one of those cool moments. I was like, wow. You know, see, Mom is the only, maybe I did make something of myself after all. Anyway, so this is Pam Bondi going after the state of New York, and I love this. I really do. She's terrific, by the way. She's great. She's fantastic. And I know Linda Kearns is listening right now. And I'm grateful to Linda Kearns for connecting me with Pam Bondi during the election, because Pam and I became buds. I have her cell phone number. I'm not going to abuse it unless I get jammed up, obviously. Then I'll be like, I got the Attorney General's cell phone number. I'm sure she's changed it by now anyway, so since she is the Attorney General of the United States of America. I also don't think it helps if you get pulled over by a local cop and you're like, do you know that I have the Attorney General of the United States phone number in my phone? Guy's going to be like, get out of the car, you drunken idiot. All right, here's Pam Bondi, cut number six.
We're here today because we have filed charges against the state of New York. We have filed charges against Kathy Hochul. We have filed charges against Letitia James and Mark Schroeder, who is with DMV. This is a new DOJ, and we are taking steps to protect Americans, American citizens, and angel moms, like the mom standing right behind me, who you're going to hear from in a moment. New York has chosen to prioritize illegal aliens over American citizens. It stops. It stops today.
There you go. Good. Oh, and speaking of Tulsi Gabbard, she delivered her first remarks as Director of National Intelligence. I'm so fired up for Tulsi. I really am. I'm so pumped. I'm just excited. I feel good. Don't you feel good? We should feel good. Tomorrow's our Eagles parade. Feel good. It's going to be great, right? Cut number four.
Foremost, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for the trust that you have placed in me to fulfill this critical position as Director of National Intelligence at any time, but specifically during this time. Unfortunately, the American people have very little trust in the intelligence community, largely because they've seen the weaponization and politicization of an entity that is supposed to be purely focused on ensuring our national security. So I look forward to being able to help fulfill that mandate that the American people delivered to you very clearly in this election, to refocus our intelligence community by empowering the great patriots who have chosen to serve our country in this way and focus on ensuring the safety, security, and freedom of the American people. As you've said, Mr. President, this is what I've dedicated my life to, and it is truly humbling to be in this position, to serve in your administration, help to rebuild that trust, and ultimately to keep the American people safe. Last thing I'll mention, that in your National Prayer Breakfast speech, you made a statement about your legacy of wanting to be remembered as a peacemaker. I know that I can speak for many of my fellow service members who are here today, veterans, Medal of Honor recipients, how deeply that resonates with us. For those who volunteer to put their lives on the line when duty calls, but to have a president and commander in chief who recognizes the cost of that sacrifice and ensuring that.
Now, the other important thing to note is that we have some activists melting down. Matt, did you pull up the cross-dressing transgender activists in Worcester, Massachusetts? Please tell me you did.
Yeah, I have that. Give me.
And we have it on video.
We don't have the video. We only have
I need the video of it.
I can send Sean the video. He'll have it in a second.
Send Sean the video. It doesn't work without the video. My God, why can't we just do... What is this now? Exclusive illegal border crossings hit record low. Yeah, that's good stuff. Great stuff. But don't distract me from sending over that video of the transgender sanctuary city activist lunatics. This is good stuff.
Yeah, we'll have it in a second.
All right, good. Excellent. Thank you. And I always say to somebody, you can always judge people by the quality of their enemies. John Bolton, for example, very upset that Trump is gearing up to end the war in Ukraine. I'm not going to play that because we're loading up this other video. But and Summer Lee, who's a disgrace, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, called President Trump a white supremacist and demands reparations. Now, if a Democrat party is going to go down this road of transgender sanctuary cities in Worcester, Massachusetts, if the Democrat Party is going to go down this road of reparations, if the Democrat Party is going to go down the road of screaming because we're trying to root out government waste, fraud, and abuse, the Democrat Party is never, ever going to be a national party. It's not going to happen. It'll be impossible for them to be able to do so. It'll be impossible. The American people knew exactly what they were getting with Donald Trump, and he wanted an overwhelming mandate. It wasn't like he pretended to be somebody else, gets in there, and decides to start cutting the size of government. He said exactly what he was going to do, said he was going to impose reciprocal tariffs, which he did today. And look, you could be against tariffs, but Kevin Hassett, who is a great guy and a friend of the show and a local guy, he's from our area. He is one of the top economic guys, National Economic Council Director. Love Hassett. Great guy. He said the following point today. He said, you know, last year we mailed foreign governments $370 billion in taxes. Let me say that again. $370 billion in taxes. And those taxes are being paid for by United States citizens. So the question for people that oppose tariffs, and I don't like tariffs. I get that point. But I think what President Trump said today about that is if they end tariffs against us, we'll end tariffs against them. Great. Let this be the way that we can get rid of these tariffs, because Kevin Hassett asked that question. Is that really in the United States' best interest to mail $370 billion to these foreign countries? And they're sending us $57 billion. So 370 goes out the door and 57 billion comes in. Does that sound like a good trade to you? Does that sound like a good trade? Of course not. And so that's the playing field that we have to level here. We have to level that playing field, because if we don't, the United States of America simply, we won't be able to survive. We just won't. I mean, you can't tell me that the United States of America can continue to exist when other countries are ripping us off. So if you're anti-tariff, this is a great way for you to be anti-tariff. Be anti-tariff then. And speaking of Linda McMahon as the Department of Education secretary, she said today, she was asked a question, you know, men in women's locker rooms. She said, look, women deserve to feel safe in their spaces. All right. They shouldn't have to be exposed to men undressing in front of them. We want to make sure Title IX, which is the law, is enforced. Remember what the Biden administration tried to do with Title IX? They tried to do a rewrite of Title IX using their executive authority. That's what they tried to do. And then there were protests and everything else. And, you know, it was just the usual nonsense. And she'll do a great job. And her point that she made today about the Department of Education, you may not know this, it was created in 1980. And since that time, the United States of America has spent almost $1 trillion. We've watched our performance scores continue to go down the drain as we have spent $1 trillion, not even educating a single kid, not educating a single kid. So just take that in mind and understand that point. And this is why I say to you that getting rid of the Department of Education will be one of the most important things President Trump can do, by far. No question about it. All right, here's some transgender lunatics. If you're streaming live on YouTube, you're going to get to see some of these people speaking out at a sanctuary city, a town in Massachusetts, which is going to become a trans sanctuary city. Take a listen.
I need the city to protect me because the federal government won't. And if you think you're afraid of Trump, you should see how afraid of Trump I am.
Can you wrap up, please?
I'm shaking right now. I don't want to be here.
Can you wrap up,
please? I'm sorry. Am I taking too long pleading for my life? Can you look at me and tell me how many of my friends need to die before you do anything?
Please wrap up.
Look at me.
It's my day off.
Just pause it for a second.
I do not want to be.
Can you pause it? That person who has is that a purple clown wig? I'm trying to understand what this individual is wearing. Do you see that? I believe it's a purple clown wig. My friends are dying. The other guy, the person, I don't know. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. I genuinely don't. There's sort of a beard thing going on, but there might be glitter. Can somebody tell me where all these trans people are dying? Where is this happening? Where are all these people being killed? I'm just curious. Did I talk about Easy Pass? Yes, I talked about Easy Pass on the show yesterday, as a matter of fact. Yes, I did. I played the clip of Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Easy Pass was owned by a company in New Jersey, and now Easy Pass is owned by a Chinese company. But don't be fooled by this, okay? This is a problem with the surveillance state in general, right? You know that a lot of body cameras the cops wear are owned by Chinese companies, made by Chinese companies? Your television, which is made by a Chinese company, has the ability to track you and censor you. The Easy Pass thing is like one of those things where I feel as if the outrage is a little bit... I get it, but... This is the problem with the surveillance state. This is the problem with why I'm against ending the penny, because it leads us down the road of the digital currency, where the government can track every dollar we spend and then categorize us and profile us and everything else. You can make the company that owns New Jersey Easy Pass be an American company again. It's not going to change the fact that the government's tracking your movements and your whereabouts and knows everywhere you go, and at any moment can just access all that. All right, back to the transgender lunatics. You're right. Stay on point, Rich. Good point. All right, go back to the clown. Yeah, the insane clown posse. All right, go ahead. Go back to these lunatics.
I do not want to be in your DMs. I do not want to be in your email inboxes. I do not want my creativity writing diss tracks like Kendrick. I don't want to spend an hour applying glitter on my face so that you will hear and see me.
Wow. Okay. I think the glitter person at the end was a woman pretending to be a man with a glitter beard. Is that it? Is that what it is? By the way, Singapore and China is kind of the same thing. I don't really think there's a big difference there. Can you go back to the purple one, Sean? Can you rewind it to the purple lunatic with the clown wig? Is that... Go back to that. I just want to see if you can go back to that. Now, Matt DeSantis, look at the video of this. Justin, tell me your thoughts on this. That wig, that shade of purple. Go ahead, play it, Sean.
Because the federal government won't. And if you think you're afraid of Trump, you should see how afraid of Trump I am.
Now stop it right there. Pause it right there. But keep the video on the screen. Keep the video on the screen right there. Okay. How afraid am I of that purple dye and that wig? That's my question. What do you think? What kind of colorings are in there that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to ban now as HHS secretary? Do you guys know? What do you think that's made of?
I don't know. Is there a chance it's her actual hair? Am I wrong in thinking that it could actually be her hair?
Yeah, I think it's her actual hair, but she has all kinds of carcinogenic dyes in there. Every single one she could get her hands on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's... I mean, so look at that, and then that individual... Is that a woman or a man? Biologically speaking, do we know?
I think it's a biological woman.
Biological woman who is identifying as Ronald McDonald? Is that what that is?
Grimace, like, I think.
Grimace, because purple. Right, Grimace. Yeah, it's like a Grimace-Ronald McDonald hybrid. She's got the Ronald McDonald hair, but the Grimace purple. So it's like a Ronald Grimace fusion right there. Okay, Matt. Yeah, great. All right. Yeah. I hope that's Kamala's running mate in 2028. I think they'll win. I do. I think they're going to win. I think it's going to win. I'm not going to take the press conference with the Prime Minister of India. I've got a lot of stuff to get to, and we took a lot of President Trump today during the show, and I will certainly, you know, obviously if there's anything that, but it's India. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. We took the whole scrum of him in the Oval Office today, and we also took him signing the executive orders, but... You know, you get those boring questions from the Indian press. You know what I mean? It's low energy, and I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you got to pick and choose a little bit here. Otherwise, you'd have to turn over the entire show to basically the president. And it's not that I don't want to, because I'm going to the White House on Wednesday, obviously. But it's just like the Indian prime minister, you know, and then the translator, and you know what I mean? Plus, these things never start on time. So you start getting into a subject, and we have a guest lined up, and I bumped him yesterday for Trump. I don't want to bump him again today. So anyway, we're gonna kind of do that. If you really are dying to see, like really dying to see the press conference of the prime minister of India, I understand if you don't want to listen. I will give you a pass. I'll forgive you. Here's Linda McMahon talking about the Department of Education, what she wants to do as the Department of Education chair. This is, Matt, the one you sent me on, if I can find this here. Where is it now? Yes. This is a good protest. A psychopath teacher got up and started shrieking in protest at Linda McMahon's confirmation hearing. Take a listen.
Very good. Let me ask you about
I'm a teacher, and this
the senator will suspend. The committee will come to order. Capitol Police are asked to remove the individual from the hearing room. Members of the audience are reminded that disruptions will not be permitted while the committee conducts it.
Very good.
That's the kind of lunacy that I like to see on display. But here's Linda McMahon talking about the Department of Education, how it was created, and why it has not achieved what it was designed to do, and how it hasn't helped anybody. Cut number, whatever it is, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Bottom line is there we go. Because it's not working. Department of Education was set up in 1980, and since that time, we have spent almost $1 trillion, and we have watched our performance scores continue to go down. I do believe that it is a responsibility to make sure that our children do have equal access to excellent education. I think that that is best handled at the state level, closest to the states, working with state administrators, teachers, parents, who should have input into their curriculum.
There you go. All right. Very good stuff here. Listen, Dr. Mike Veneria, my buddy, my friend, the master of dental implants. He's fantastic. He's going to give you the smile of your dreams. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to Dr. Mike today by going to VeneriaDental.com. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Rich, come on. Do I really need a beautiful smile? There's so much to smile about. I mean, between the fact that we're winning every single day, we're winning. But your smile lights up a room, tells the world all about you. So Dr. Mike will give you the smile that you deserve. And with two locations in Cinnaminson and Voorhees right over the bridge, Woodbury, easy to get to. If you've been putting off getting your dental work done, don't put it off any longer. Plus, it's also very critical to your health, you know, to see a dentist. They recommend you should get a cleaning twice a year. Have you done that? If not, do it. And I trust Dr. Mike. That's why the entire Zeoli family goes to Dr. Mike Veneria for all of our dental needs. And yes, Mama Zeoli first discovered him for our family. So please, reach out to him today. You'll thank me. The master of dental implants, recognized among his peers as a master for over 10 years. That's Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.